Welcome to another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the difference between dairy allergy and lactose intolerance. We're going to be breaking down what each of these are, how to manage both conditions respectively, and also some nutritional considerations for those of you out there who don't include dairy in your diet. This is a really important episode for anyone with allergies, intolerances, or people that follow a plant-based diet. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. It is your new favorite co-hosts, Lauren and Dojo. Jordy's still away in America, so we're back again with another episode together. Dojo, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Loz. Thanks for having me back on.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Hey, I feel we're both co-hosting here, so yeah. Who's on whose show, but we're gonna do it anyway. So today, last time we spoke, we were talking about, what were we talking about? I don't even recall it now. Oh, blood work. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
that's blood. What we spoke about last week.
So we ran through bloods last week. And I guess today is kind of like, I mean, this is something that can be checked up on bloods as well. It's an important, we'll get into like the important nutrient here, but in particular, what we're going to chat today about is something that is pretty common in the population. Like you would have all heard about it, but we're going to kind of break down the specifics here around like dairy and dairy allergies versus like dairy intolerances. Also have a bit of a chat about I guess like ways to get around that, so different strategies that you can use to still get dairy in your diet, or also for athletes or people that are listening in that maybe don't have an allergy or an intolerance, but they just choose not to have dairy, or they're following some sort of plant-based diet where dairy is just not an option. We'll also have some different strategies involved there to make sure you're not missing out on any of the key nutrients involved in dairy. But we'll get to that. So Loz, maybe start us off with, I guess, what is the difference between an allergy and an intolerance, especially when it comes to dairy?
Yeah, for sure. No, good intro, Doge. And I think, yeah, it's very important for people, you know, just as a preface to this episode, to understand the difference between, you know, a dairy allergy and lactose intolerance, because obviously they're both things that can happen and people suffer from them. You know, so many people do. It's very common, as you said, but a lot of people, I think, like to hop on the lactose intolerant train because they think it's healthy. Again, you know, same with gluten, same with celiac, you know, people just cut gluten out of their diet because they think it's bad for you and those types of things. So again, you know, hopefully this episode can help to dispel, you know, maybe why lactose isn't actually bad for you. It's just upset some people. So again, just, yeah, remembering that there is a difference between a dairy allergy and lactose intolerance, and as such, they should be managed differently, which we'll go through. But yeah, just, you know, prefacing it with, okay, we're not talking about diet trends here or fad diets. We're talking about people with legitimate dietary restrictions that means that they cannot have dairy and or lactose. So yeah, let's get started. So ultimately, a dairy allergy, it's often as well called cow's milk allergy. So it's one of the most common food allergies. You've got peanut, egg, even lupin, soy. They're all really common allergens as well. And dairy allergy or cow's milk allergy is one of the allergies that can cause anaphylaxis. So obviously, that's the biggest difference here between lactose intolerance and a dairy allergy, is that a dairy allergy can lead to anaphylaxis, which can be fatal. So with an allergy, the body's immune system ultimately reacts to a specific protein in the milk, so a milk protein, and it triggers an immune response that tries to neutralize this triggering protein because the body perceives it as dangerous. So whenever someone has an allergy, whether it's to dairy or to peanut or to soy, it's because the body kind of notices and thinks that it's foreign and starts sending out, you know, all these responses to try and attack it, but as a result ends up just damaging ourselves. So this can be quite serious. Milk allergy can either be IgE or non-IgE mediated, meaning immunoglobulin E. A little bit of a tongue twister there at the end of a busy work day. But IgE mediated reactions typically occur immediately after ingestion, and that's where we're more likely to see something such as anaphylaxis to take place, whereas non-IgE mediated are delayed and can take up to 48 hours to develop. So they're still quite serious side effects, but they're not deadly and not anaphylactic, and they can take a little while to kick in. So It's the symptoms, though, of that non-IgE-mediated allergy that people can sometimes confuse with lactose intolerance or milk intolerance just because they don't seem as extreme. And just to highlight, obviously, how severe a reaction to milk can be if you've got an allergy, symptoms include hives, wheezing, itching or tingling feeling around the lips or mouth if you've come into contact with any dairy, as well as swelling of the lips, tongues or throat. Coughing, shortness of breath, vomiting, and of course, as I mentioned, anaphylaxis. So quite a lot of scary symptoms there. And for those that do have a cow's milk allergy, would likely carry around a EpiPen with them just in case they do have an adrenaline injector, just in case they do come into obviously contact with allergies. So yeah, Doge, do you have any clients or do you know anyone that's got a severe dairy allergy?
I don't know of anyone that has a dairy milk allergy, but I think one of the reasons is, as far as I'm aware, that they're usually screened for, like, as a baby, right? Like when you're going through the process of the different stages of like baby nutrition. But dairy allergies, as you said, are really, really, I guess, dangerous, or they can be particularly dangerous, especially when it comes to anaphylaxis, which is like obviously shutting off your breathing. So it is really important for people that have milk allergies to make sure that they're on top of it by basically excluding anything that contains dairy from their diet. So if you have an intolerance and you have a little bit of dairy, you probably feel like a little bit of an upset stomach or something. Like the severity of actually having dairy if you have a milk allergy can be, as you said, like fatal if you don't have an EpiPen, or at least like extreme discomfort if you break out in hives or something like that. So people who have dairy milk like cow's milk or dairy allergies often have to exclude 100% of dairy from their diet. So that's not just like avoiding milk or yogurt and stuff. Like some products may have like even trace amounts of milk or dairy in them, say if they're produced in the same factory, or there's other ways that they can be contaminated with milk proteins. Even those small trace amounts can cause these anaphylactic reactions, these allergic reactions in the body. So it's really, really important to make sure that you're eliminating dairy completely if you have these signs or symptoms. But hopefully you've already been diagnosed with that like early on in life. Obviously, there's probably some cases where people might develop an allergy later on in life. But yeah, really important to completely eliminate all forms of dairy if you have a milk or cow's milk allergy. Now, in terms of lactose intolerance, we kind of chatted a little bit about the symptoms and stuff there. But in order to understand the difference between the two here, we'll kind of dig into that. So as you said, the milk allergies is more to do with the body's immune system just basically kicking up this huge inflammatory storm in response to a protein, while a lactose intolerance, on the other hand, is more to do with one of the sugars that's contained in the milk. So the allergy is to do with the protein. The intolerance is to do with one of the sugars, and that is lactose. Obviously, like lactose intolerance kind of makes sense. But what happens is lactose is a sugar that's combining. It's like a combination of a few smaller sugar molecules that are joined together, and they need to be broken down to be absorbed. So they need to be broken down into the individual components. Now, in order for us to break down lactose, we need this enzyme in our digestive system called lactase. Now, when, like most people, when they're young, they have high amounts of this lactase enzyme, obviously, because we grow up with like breastfeeding and consuming milk as children. And then some people, as they get older, the expression of this enzyme, so the amount that their body produces, starts to decrease. So they're less able to break down that bond. Now, what happens is if that bond's not being broken down and the lactose stays whole in the digestive system, instead of being broken down and absorbed, it can start to ferment. So bacteria in the small intestine or in the digestive system can start to basically feed on that lactose when it's in its like complete form. And that's what leads to the bacteria are what give off the gas, which then leads to swelling, you know, bloating, discomfort. And that's where we see all of the symptoms that are associated with lactose intolerance. So some of the things that we get with that, obviously, I just kind of said them. So bloating, stomach cramps, gassiness, like flatulence. And then also like that gas can sometimes draw water into the intestine. So then you're going to see more like fluid in your toilet. So things like diarrhea and stuff as well. So in a nutshell, that's kind of how lactose works, is it's just an inability to process that sugar anymore. And so we get bacteria and stuff fermenting it in the gut. I don't have a lactose intolerance myself, but I know a lot of people that are intolerant to lactose, at least to like certain amounts. So I think we should probably talk about that, like why the amount of lactose can be important here, Loz.
Yeah, for sure. I think that was a really good overview, Doge. Thanks for that. And it helps as well to differentiate, I think, by how you were saying cow's milk allergy is your body reacting to the protein and lactose intolerance is your body reacting to the sugar. So, you know, that, you know, now when you look at it that way, okay, they're totally different conditions here. Our body's responding to something different. And I think that's a really good way to put it. So hopefully everyone out there has learned something new today. And that is the difference between a cow's milk allergy and also lactose intolerance. But yeah, it's super important to manage obviously both, but now moving on to lactose intolerance. It's a very individual approach because you just alluded to it then, Doge, but so many people can have, you know, a different kind of tolerance level in terms of how much lactose they can actually tolerate without having symptoms. And, you know, it always kind of makes me laugh and question the legitimacy of their lactose intolerance when people tell me that, you know, they can't have yogurt, but they can have ice cream or something like that. So I think in some ways, you know, probably people just having a laugh and trying to exclude things from their diet or justify why they can eat some things and can't eat other things. However, the reality is that it is the case for some people. So on that note, different types of dairy products can contain different amounts of lactose. So when we're talking about managing lactose intolerance, you can still include dairy in your diet. So again, we're not allergic to dairy. We're not having a response to the general kind of umbrella term of dairy. It's just that one element inside the dairy, so lactose. So for those of you with lactose intolerance, you can have dairy, you can have lactose-free dairy, so you can have lactose-free milk, yogurt, cheese, all those types of things. However, quite a lot of dairy products such as hard cheese, yogurt, they have a much lower lactose content than say a glass of milk or you know, creamy brie, because those harder cheeses and yogurts, they're fermented. So that lactose usually gets broken down anyway naturally. So there are some types of dairy that those with lactose intolerance can still tolerate. Again, though, it should be kind of based on an individual basis in terms of, does this trigger symptoms for you? Is it uncomfortable? Or you have the symptoms, but you can manage it because you love a slice of cheese with your crackers. So again, you know, having lactose isn't going to cause anaphylaxis. It's not fatal. It's more so about symptom management, in the same way that the difference between, say, a wheat allergy and just having gluten intolerance is, wheat allergy can be very serious, but if you can tolerate maybe an upset stomach, go ahead and have a cracker because it's not going to be fatal. So here again, it's differentiating, you know, it's really about the symptoms and how you want to manage them. But yeah, I suppose you can buy lactose-free dairy. As I said, you can have harder cheeses or yogurts because they're going to be naturally lower in lactose content. Also something that I find works with a lot of people that I work with that have lactose intolerance and also friends is that the YoPro yogurts, they actually have lactase added into the product itself. So those little YoPro tubs and the squeezy yogurts, the high-protein yogurts, if you turn it around and look in the nutrition panel and the ingredient list, you'll actually see that lactase is an ingredient in that product. So typically people with lactose intolerance won't exhibit symptoms having that because the lactose is largely digested and absent in terms of the product. But again, it should be kind of assessed on a one-on-one basis. Otherwise, you can buy enzyme drops or tablets. I think they're called Lactase from the chemist. And you can either add them to foods or have it before and or after dairy so that it kind of does the lactase digestion for you. So it's like a fake enzyme in there because our body can't do it. So that's always an option as well. However, how effective they are in terms of mitigating symptoms, I'm not too sure. But again, similar as to what you mentioned, Doge, in terms of dairy allergy, just making sure that you're checking the nutrition panel because ingredients can sometimes be quite ambiguous. So just checking the package and checking the labels. So lactose can be an ingredient in other processed foods such as biscuits, cakes, cheesy sauces, creamy soups, and custards. So it can actually be added into foods that maybe typically wouldn't be naturally high in lactose. So again, it's just a really good reminder for those of you out there, especially if you're quite sensitive to lactose, to check the ingredient list on the back for things like milk solids, non-fat milk solids, whey and milk sugar, because all of those things are typically added into foods during the production phase. And, you know, more so in processed foods to extend shelf life, enhance flavor, all of those types of things. So again, you know, it's usually only a problem if it's a major ingredient, but you should always check the back of a nutrition label if you have an allergy and or intolerance.
Yeah. It's those are some good strategies for kind of getting around it. And I guess like the next thing to kind of highlight here is why you'd want to even go about these strategies if you're able to have a little bit of dairy. Like, is it just easier to cut it out completely? The answer is like maybe, but the main reason that we have dairy in the diet, and that's kind of like what I'm alluding to here, is that we try to include dairy if possible because it's such a good source of dietary calcium. Now, calcium is a nutrient that's kind of hard to get in the diet, like outside of dairy foods. There are other ways that you can have it, which I'll talk about in a second, but just in terms of like what calcium is and how it's important, you would have probably all seen or heard that calcium is important for bones, which it absolutely is. It's really important for bone density, which for athletes is especially important. And you know, in combat sports, that can be a really, really important factor. Now, it's also really important for things like teeth, regulating muscle function. So muscle contraction and stuff is also sort of like the process involves calcium, heart function, blood clotting. There's all sorts of things like nerve transmission. These systems in our body heavily rely on calcium, and it's one of the main sort of electrolytes that we use in our body. So if we can get it in through dairy, that's usually what we would call like the most bioavailable form of calcium. The easiest for our body to digest and use is going to be through dairy calcium. Now, obviously for some people, they're not going to be able to have any dairy, but for people that are just lactose intolerant, we would still sort of encourage them to try and get as much dairy in as possible. But as you said, Loz, like up to that level of tolerance. So for some people, that level of tolerance is usually, or like I shouldn't say usually, but for some people, that level of tolerance is somewhere around like half a cup of milk, which you could try like having that like that's like per meal, like not per day. So say if you had like half a cup of milk in the morning, you can still have more throughout the day, even if you're lactose intolerant, if you just kind of spread it out. That's one way to try and still get the dairy in over the day. Now, if you do have a cow's milk protein allergy, or the lactose tolerance is just so low that it's not even worth having like these little bits of dairy, there are other ways that we can get calcium in the diet. A couple of quick ones are things like, you know, having plant-based sources is a common one. So that's going to be things like dark green leafy vegetables. Almonds is one that we hear about. So you've got like these alternative milks like almond milk and that also contain calcium. It's just really important to remember with some of these though, the level of calcium in them is quite low. So you're going to have to include quite a lot of them in your diet in order to meet those needs. But you can still definitely get calcium from your diet without having to consume it from milk or dairy. Other sources are things like if you're not a plant-based athlete or a plant-based person, you can have things like fish and stuff that contain, you know, like those little bones and stuff. It might be a bit like of a weird thing, but if you have like anchovies or whatever and there's small amounts of like bone and stuff in there, that's also going to be high in calcium, and that's going to contribute to that daily calcium intake.
Actually, while you've just inspired a thought and reminded me of something, for our listeners out there that maybe don't include dairy but still have fish, John West, they actually have a little tin of tuna these days that they're called calcium plus or something. And okay. I can't recall the exact amount, but it has an insane amount of calcium in a tin of tuna, which would normally not have any calcium in it because it doesn't have bones. So if anyone out there is listening and does enjoy fish, John West do the little tins of tuna that have additional calcium. And I believe that it is from including the bones and or kind of ground bone in there to boost up the calcium. So again, a really good way to get a hit of calcium without having to drink a glass of milk.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and so like obviously these strategies that we're talking about at the moment are like more diet related. If you do like some blood tests to check your calcium and you find that your calcium is a little bit on the lower end, there's a chance that your doctor might also put you on a calcium supplement. That's also an alternative, but obviously we usually try and recommend food based strategies first, and to try and get it in your diet as much as possible. But yeah, so just to kind of wrap up on that and summarize, we've got these two different like aversions to milk or dairy that can exist outside of just, you know, like trends of trying to eliminate stuff to seem cool. So we've got the milk allergies, where you actually have like a really serious allergic reaction to proteins in the milk. Then we've got our intolerance, which is just sort of like a decreased ability to digest the sugars in the milk, which then leads to fermentation, gas, discomfort, that kind of thing. Those sort of people can still eat small amounts of dairy depending on their individual tolerance. But for the people with the allergy, or if you have a really, really low tolerance, you definitely still need to try and look for sources of calcium in the diet, like the ones that we talked about a little bit earlier.
Yeah, for sure. No, good summary, Doja. And I think as you alluded to it, it's funny, hey, how excluding things from your diet seems to be trendy. I don't know what it is, but why can't we fantasize adding things into our diet? I mean, it's just like, unless you're removing gluten or dairy, you know, maybe you're not too cool, but it's, you know, you mentioned it as well, but with the plant-based milk, you know, almond, soy and oat and everything, if you are one of those people that, because of dietary requirements or just personal preference, that you always find yourself having an almond latte or whatever it is, having on your oats and your breakfast cereal and all those types of things, try and look for in the supermarket a fortified product. So on the nutrition panel, make sure that it says somewhere along the lines of calcium fortified or fortified with calcium, and check the nutrition panel to make sure that it's actually got calcium in it, because I know so many brands that don't have calcium in there, and you're kind of doing yourself a disservice if you're not having dairy but also not including an adequate substitute. I think it's Pure Harvest or whatever it is, Milk Lab, that does all the almond milk for cafes and stuff. I remember reading one day and it doesn't have any added calcium, whereas Bonsoy and Happy Happy Soy Boy do. So I always prefer soy as an alternative, but I know there can be a lot of, you know, kind of mixed emotions about soy, but just food for thought in terms of if you are one of those plant milk drinkers, whether it's dietary requirements or preference, just make sure you are getting a calcium fortified product where possible. But other than that, Doja, I think that was a pretty good summary. And of course, as always, if any of our listeners have any questions or you'd like any more information or specific information, reach out to either of us, the Dojo Dietitian or the Exit Dietitian on Instagram. And our contact details will be listed in the little memo on our podcast. And you could obviously find us on YouTube, Spotify, and theflightdietitian.com.
And there it is, another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. If you like this episode and you enjoy our content, then you will absolutely love our new TFD Performance Hub. Our first course on the Hub is the Performance Nutrition for BJJ course, which is perfect for grapplers looking to master their nutrition. And if you follow the link in the description, you can even snag 40% off that course. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and if you follow along our socials at @the_fightdietitian, you can see all of the best bits from our podcast episode. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the TFD Performance Podcast.